Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
So I was in the shower, I was cleaning my ass and making all my shirts all sparkly, spanky clean.
I'm not the funny one, I'm the pretty one.
Cock shots. I just checked myself out.
Beatles, music, wine, and then lube up and get on top.
The glory hole is like a dick theater. I've imagined your family.
Which means your pants had better come off. Mama needs playtime.
We're not sluts.
We just love.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Angela.
And this is Bradford.
Welcome back to another episode of By the By.
Yep. Hello.
Yes. So coming up February 15th.
Oh, yeah.
We have a pendulum party.
We have a thing.
Yes.
Pendulum.
Yes, pendulum party is coming up. So if you want to explore your by side, have a little bit of fun, if you want to watch, just want to come be yourself, and you're in the Sydney area, we'll be at our secret spot.
That's right.
It's always such a great vibe, such a great night.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
It's like a little reprieve on the way to desire.
I know. You know, it's so exciting.
Since, you know, Life on the Swing Set Takeover was like a week's worth of pendulum parties, mm-hmm. we have to have them, you know, once in a while. So,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So very much looking forward to this. Mm-hmm. February 15th.
Yes. It's a Friday.
That's right.
Right after Valentine's Day.
Right.
What better way to celebrate a made-up holiday than by coming to Pendulum Party and playing with others?
Right. Get that up, yeah. I don't know. I'm trying to be Australian.
That didn't sound very Australian, babe.
Yeah. It's been a long day. That's the best Australian I got. Yeah, so very much looking forward to that.
Yeah.
So come on out.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, people at home. I'm looking at the camera right now. Sorry, microphone people. I now have camera people as well. We're in an open relationship, microphone people.
Yeah, I love it.
These are our Patreon supporters out there. I got to be honest, with the amount of effort and work that goes into putting these videos together, I'm considering just throwing it out there for everybody and then letting people support us on Patreon because they're nice, good people who like to support the arts.
And it helps
We're
us.
We're an art.
It helps us to keep bringing this to you and doing the podcast.
That's right.
Which is,
we love it.
Yes.
But it ain't free.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, yeah. Cool.
All right.
So how are we doing?
I'm doing good.
Yeah.
Are you ready for tonight's topic?
No.
It's not the most fun, sexiest, whatever of topics, but it's necessary. It's something that we want to keep talking about.
It we have like talked we keep about, talking it about it
before. Yes. So we did an episode previously, number 22.
Episode 22, way back in the past.
Yes, that we talked about STIs.
Yes.
And we wanted to kind of revisit some of that.
We are revisiting STIs, which is never something you want to say.
No, but we wanted to have a refresher and just kind of a new look at things now that some time has gone on.
Yes.
Yeah. Are you ready?
No. People at home, microphone people, camera people, best threesome ever. Are we ready?
Ready.
I heard it. They didn't respond. So
we're ready.
All right, fine.
Yeah. Full disclaimer, we're not doctors, medical professionals, whatever.
No.
Nope.
But we speak with confidence. So you should listen to us.
Right, right.
And we say get tested.
Yes. But yeah, all the information that we're going to go over today came from three sources. It came from who? I can see it in your eyes.
I'll speak for the people at home. Who did it come from, Angela?
Who? The World Health Organization.
Who?
The World Health Organization.
Is that like a group of owls? Who?
Came from the CDC for US-based data, and then for Australia-based data from New South Wales Health. So all of them have really lovely, concise documents on their websites that kind of just really outline the numbers. I say concise, they're actually quite long, but there's a lot of data there.
Verbose, and it's, you mean? Verbose, right.
But it's the data's there, and it's presented actually in a lot of different ways that can be really fascinating for people who like to read and do research and look at things in different from different perspectives. So, you know, I find it fascinating, but I know most people don't.
All I can imagine is Homer leaning out of the car going, "Nerd! Nerd!" Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, mm-hmm. I can't stop looking at your cleavage. And every time you pick up that glass two-handed, which why?
Because it's moist on the outside, and I'm afraid I'm going to drop it if I do it one-handed. Moist on the outside.
But you like push your boobs together just to grab your drink.
Well, I can put it between my boobs, and then I need a straw to drink from there, though.
Yes, yeah. You do. That's true. All right. Let's dive into
Let's
this.
Jump in.
I can't stall anymore.
Okay.
As much as I want to.
So, overall trend. The rates of newly diagnosed STIs, sexually transmissible infections, is increasing everywhere.
Well,
like worldwide, Australia, US, it's going up. US, there was a record high last year of almost 2.3 million new diagnoses.
We should build a wall.
I said last year, 2017, the last year that they have data compiled for.
We should build a wall. That'll
a keep wall those, against STIs.
Those bad hombre STIs out. Yeah.
Oh, that's not, I mean, it's kind of funny, but it's not.
I'm sorry. I'll try to be better. I'm going to be better. Uh-huh. Well done, U.S.
Yeah,
and
record high.
I'm assuming
high.
It's worldwide that numbers keep going up, right?
Yes, that's true.
Of course.
That's
well true. Done, world.
So worldwide, there's more than 1 million new diagnoses each day. There are 357 million each year for the four big ones that are reportable: chlamydia, gonorrhea, syphilis, and trichomoniasis.
It's like the four horsemen of the apocalypse. All right.
Yeah. So those.
What was the last one?
Trichomoniasis.
You made that one up.
It's a parasite.
Ew. Wait. Sorry. I'm sorry. Look, I was okay with sexual risk and getting bacterias, and I was okay with getting viruses. I mean, I'm okay with the risk of getting bacteria and viruses. And I understand that crabs are a parasite, but you're saying that there. Is this like a worm parasite?
It's like a. I'm not. It's Trichomonas. It's Trichomonas vaginalis, I think.
That's a
I don't have it in front of me, so I'm going based
Thank
off of
God,
memory.
Because I don't want to see that shit.
Okay, I'm going based off of memory, so I could be wrong, but yeah, I think it's Trichomonas vaginalis is the
that
the parasite.
Like a worm.
So, but yeah, it's
what does it do?
It's not the big three are chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis out of those four. So it's not near as much, but I mean it is.
Did you just insult the worm?
Maybe. But it's not as common, but it is still out there, and it's still a reportable STI for sure. Interestingly, though, HIV is not on the list.
That is surprising.
But that's because these are reportable to the government. I know at least here in Australia, HIV is reported to the Kirby Institute. Don't know about in the U.S. I'm not sure what is necessarily reportable there. But anyway, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm listening. Uh-huh, and uh-huh. So the people at home can know I'm also looking up to see if I can find an image of Trichomonas
vaginalis.
Oh, it's cute. No, it is. It looks like little... Well, it looks like you could cut it up and put it in pasta for like a... Yeah, it looks like a little scallop.
All right, I need to come take a look at this
here. It's cute. And they make the... giant microbes, the plush microbes. See? Look at it, cute.
Yeah. It almost looks like, well, that one picture anyway looks a bit empanada-ish.
That's it. It looks like an empanada or a fruit pie.
Yeah.
Ooh, I could use me a fruit pie. Okay, so.
All right. Back on my side of the table now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Wow.
So, yeah, it might be cute, but you don't want it.
No. I don't want that shit. Okay, sorry. Please continue. I'm listening again.
Okay, so... Basically, as you've already alluded to, most STIs are either bacterial or viral.
Oh, sorry, spoiler alert.
Yep. So bacterial ones, chlamydia, gonorrhea, syphilis are all examples of that. Viral, good examples are HIV, HSV, herpes simplex virus, and HPV, human papillomavirus.
Oof.
So we'll get into a little more about all of these shortly, but basically bacterial ones can be treated with antibiotics. Except for the new antibiotic-resistant strains of gonorrhea.
You are just a world of positive
we'll
news, aren't you?
Talk about. The viruses can't necessarily, they're not curable, but they can be treated and managed, and it's, yeah, not such a devastatingly bad thing anymore.
Cool. So, all right, so you're making it a little better. Okay.
You will Where be happy starting? To know.
Yeah.
Will
I?
Well, let's first talk about, because we mentioned that the rates of STI diagnoses is going up continually. Basically, yeah,
so
every
is the world population.
Right. Every year it's going up. So
is the percentage always the same? Are we going up linearly?
I don't know that.
Well, I'm disappointed, and so are the people at home, aren't we?
And but I was gonna say, and the question, the another
You're the
question
scientist on this one. Like, I'm just a goofy guy.
Another, you know, reason that, I mean, it could be as well, is that the notification rates are going up, but it could also be because some of them are reportable, so those they have to report, some of them they don't. So our rates...
The dog's not happy either.
I know. But so that means that, like, ones that aren't necessarily reportable, you know, they are, we do have numbers around those, but I mean, how reliable is it? They could be high, they could be low. We don't really know because okay. It's not required.
Fair enough.
So there's that, and there's also potentially more people are getting tested, at least yeah. in certain areas. I know there's been a lot of a big push and a big campaign, you know, to get tested regularly, especially certain populations here in Australia are being targeted, like the gay population's been targeted for HIV awareness.
Any men who have sex with men.
Men who have sex with men. And so it is one of those things that, you know, perhaps more people are getting tested. And so therefore, you're going to find more STIs the more you test.
True. Okay.
Potentially.
I can accept that.
It's not really clear as to exactly, you know, are there actually more new STI infections, or are we just you know, testing them and finding them? Identifying them, I should say. So, I don't know. It could be both. It's better to protect yourself than not.
Fair. I do agree with that. But it's always kind of like, oof.
Yeah, yeah. And also, you know, the other thing as well, and we've seen it, I know a lot here, is that especially amongst the gay population, a lot of people are on PrEP.
Yes.
Therefore, some stop using condoms.
What the fuck is wrong with you
which
people?
Which I don't really understand, but, you know, because condoms will help protect you against other STIs.
And PrEP only does HIV.
Right.
Only.
And
that's
so
it.
I know that there's, you know, some kind of awareness campaigns targeting that, you know, that, you know, you should still use condoms even if you're on PrEP, et cetera, et cetera. So maybe that's part of it as well. If the numbers are actually increasing, maybe it's because people feel like they are, quote unquote, safer because they're on PrEP. And they are against HIV. But, yeah.
Oh, wait.
Yes, my two-handed drink.
Just watching you drink. It's like going to church.
You will also be happy to know. You're not going to be happy to know. That many STIs are asymptomatic, especially early on.
Great. That's great.
Right.
That's not great.
So you
That's
may,
the opposite of great. That's so, horrific.
So you may not show symptoms.
For how long?
It depends. Some of them, it can be a few weeks. Some somewhere in here, I forget, was it syphilis potentially? Somebody was up to 10 years.
Oh, good.
We'll find it in here.
It's always good to spread it to everyone you know before you actually have a symptom. But if you, even if you're asymptomatic, science word, you can still test positive for it, right?
Yes.
Okay. See, that's why we get tested.
And that's
at
why
least
you get
quarterly.
That's why you get tested. Yes. And as I say, we get tested generally about quarterly, depending on how many partners you have and you know how frequently you're having sex with people. That may vary for you. It could be quarterly, 6 monthly, yearly. Just depends on what your relationships look like.
Yes.
But with some regularity, it's good to get tested because even if you don't have symptoms, you can still have an STI. So, yeah. And it's really important to know if you do, not just for passing it on to other people, but for your own health. They can have a lot of really negative consequences. You know, besides things like chronic pain, if you're pregnant, you can pass an STI along to your child, many of them. Probably most of them, I don't really know, but I would assume most
what,
of them.
Most of the children or most of the STIs?
STIs.
Okay, just checking.
There can
Some
be,
people would call children an STI.
I would tend to agree.
I'm not one of those people.
I am.
But that's a disease that you have for like more than 18 years.
Yeah.
It's expensive to.
Yep.
Yeah.
But also, if you leave an STI untreated, it can also lead to infertility. So if you do want children down the road, that could be a really big problem. A lot of damage to different organs. So there's basically, you want to find out if you have something. That way you can manage it. you know, if it's a bacterial infection, you can likely take care of it. If it's viral, you at least want to be able to manage that and also reduce the risk of spreading to others. So that's why it is really good to get tested. Get tested regularly. Know your status, whatever it is. Doesn't matter. Just
knowledge
know what
is power.
It, yeah, know what it is and deal with it.
Yeah.
Generally, STIs are more common in the younger population, but that is going up in the elderly population. The numbers are increasing there as well. So still more prominent amongst younger people, but just because you're older doesn't mean that you're immune and that you can't get an STI.
That's right, because the STIs are running rampant in old folks' homes.
Yep. Well, also the age group of 30 to 44 years, there are some STIs that are a lot higher in that age group than any others.
Well,
which is right where we are.
I'm quickly trying to get out of that age range. I'm working on it.
I know.
5 more years, and I'll be STI
free. Lower risk?
Lower risk. That's right. I mean, I'm already STI free. But
right. Yeah.
Boy. Okay.
All right. Woo! So, that's that. That's page one down.
Now page
two. And, you know, so the other thing to keep in mind as well when we're talking about the reasons why STIs may be increasing as well is a lot of people, because there is more of a push for people to get tested, that testing is more available than it used to be at one point in time. And so it might be easier for people to get tested, again, potentially increasing the numbers. So, anyway, just something I thought of right there. Anyway, food for thought. So should we move on to specific STIs?
Well, you know what?
Because it's exciting.
Let's spoil ourselves. Let's start with a specific STI.
So we'll start with chlamydia.
Oh, good.
Because
the hardest STI is a spell.
You think so? Can you spell it?
God damn it. Chlamydia. C-H-L-A. Midia. M-I-D-E-A? I-A.
C-H-L-A-M-Y.
Oh, yeah, there is a Y.
D-I-A.
Ah, oh, damn it.
Yeah.
There is a Y in there.
There is
why?
A Y.
Why? Why did I contract chlamydia? I didn't.
But. No. Yeah. But so chlamydia is a bacterial infection.
Okay.
Bacteria
is good. That means you can kill it.
Right. It's also largely asymptomatic for many people. So that's why you need to get tested because you may not know.
What do we win?
For males, it infects the prostate, the urethra, and the testes. And for women, the cervix, uterus, and the pelvis.
Well, those are just bad things.
So, yeah.
I'm expecting it burns when I pee.
I imagine.
It doesn't burn when I pee.
Right.
But if I were to have chlamydia.
Right.
Yes. Okay.
But yeah, so chlamydia is the most common treatable STI.
Oh, that's good.
So it is common, but it is very treatable as well.
Okay, that's...
A long period of time, but over the past 20 years, the rates of chlamydia have more than tripled.
Jeez.
So it's really, really gone up, and it's a lot more prevalent. In Australia, there's around 380 to 385, depending on if you look at 2016, 2017, people that were new diagnoses of chlamydia per 100,000 people.
Oof.
So for comparison, the U.S. was 528 per 100,000. And that equated to a total of 1.7 million cases in the U.S. in 2017.
Holy geez.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is, definitely increasing. Highest risk for people that are 15 to 24 years old. It is more prevalent in women than men until age 30.
Mm.
Then it flips.
Wonder why.
Then it's more prevalent in men.
Wonder why. My guess, and this is purely speculation, but my guess would be that women, once they hit 30, maybe have had or are having a child and might be less likely to have sex with multiple partners, whereas the men folk don't do that.
Potentially.
I don't know. That's pure speculation. I don't know.
Or maybe by the time you get to the age 30, you're a little bit older, maybe women are a little more careful about using condoms and protection.
I won't doubt that. That women get smarter with age. Men, we just stay dumb. We dumb.
I don't know why that is necessarily, but
interesting.
It is. And then approximately 50% of men and 80% of women diagnosed are asymptomatic. So that's why it's one of the reportable diseases, because otherwise you would have no idea.
What? Why is that different, I wonder?
50% of men asymptomatic and 80% of women?
Why are women more asymptomatic?
Don't know.
Easy for me to say.
I don't know if it has anything to do with immune systems. If it's that maybe, I mean, is it one of those things that men don't get tested until they have a symptom? Or is, which could potentially be a while, or is, I don't know. I mean, is it actually a, like a genetic gender difference, or yeah. is it a behavioral gender difference?
That's interesting. I don't know.
Cool. Yeah. I don't know. But that's what they says. That's what the data says.
I did read something not too long ago that said that women, when they're fertile, mm-hmm. are less, their immune system isn't as strong.
Yes, I remember that.
Though it was a podcast is what we were listening yes. to. It was another podcast. And
the Science of Sex.
Yeah, it's right. Yes. Which is a good podcast. Check that one out when you're done with this one. But yeah, they were talking about, because the women have this foreign body called sperm that comes into them. Mm-hmm. And they don't want their bodies to kill it. So they're...
Yeah. So what was it? Was it IgA? Immunoglobulin A? Was that the one?
Maybe. That's also a grocery store.
I think it was, yeah.
Maybe it was Super IgA.
But there was an immune, you're right, there was an immune response yeah. that was dampened when they were fertile. So that way, you know, they could accept the sperm and have an embryo implant potentially and whatever.
It's fascinating.
It is fascinating. I'd forgotten about that. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that was on Science of Sex, I'm yes. pretty sure.
Good podcast.
Like yeah, it was good. Out. It was really good.
Tell them we sent you.
They don't know who we are, but that's okay.
Well, if you tell them we sent you, they might learn who
that's
we
true.
Are.
That's true. So moving on to gonorrhea.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
This is just...
So gonorrhea is another bacterial infection.
Yay! Curable.
Yeah, mostly. Oh. Except that there are some antibiotic-resistant strains that are coming up.
Oh, good. Super gonorrhea.
So, yes.
Sugo. Super gonorrhea.
I don't think that's an actual term,
Sugo.
But...
It could, hashtag Sugo. It'll right. trend. Yeah.
So it is generally treatable, except for, you know, those super strains, but it's okay. We're going to not worry about those
so
for
are
now.
We separating diagnoses between gonorrhea of the genitalia and gonorrhea of the throat?
So in the numbers, no.
Chlamydia as well?
They lump them all together in the numbers, but if you actually go through the reports that are on the website, they do separate out the numbers that were gonorrhea of the throat versus... genital. And actually it's a relatively low number, but still higher than I would have expected. I didn't write it down, so don't ask me what it is. But
what
you
is
have
it?
We have to pull up the report. I don't know, let me get my computer.
No, I'm joking,
because I still have it open on my computer.
Of course you do.
Well, I left the report open because
you like, wanted people at work to go, what the hell is she looking at?
They wouldn't be surprised at my work.
Probably not.
But yeah, so gonorrhea is bacterial, generally easily treatable. That is also going up threefold since 1996. We've had a threefold increase. There were 118 people per 100,000 here in Australia, new diagnoses. In the US, last year combined, there were 555,000. So about a third as many as chlamydia.
555,000 gonorrheas.
Actually, if I remember correctly, it was 555,608.
That's so close. 555,608 gonorrheas.
I didn't write that down specifically, but I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
Well, so. Well done.
Anyway, so yeah, so it's not as prevalent as chlamydia, but still it's a super high number. I mean, really.
Super.
Yeah. I think it's a super high number.
Well, yes, it is so. Quite the super high number. And yeah. I also wonder how many of these people who tested positive for chlamydia are the same people who tested positive for gonorrhea. Because that's really bad luck.
That would be really bad luck. I'm not going to say it's impossible, but it'd be really bad luck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Use a condom.
So gonorrhea is more common in men and those who have been sexually active in high prevalence countries. And here in Australia, those of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander background. And I thought it was interesting that on the... World Health Organization's website, not falling into that trap again.
I was just about to go, who?
On their website, they do break down the numbers by country, so you can look at it by country, which is, I think,
yeah.
is really fascinating.
That's cool.
And then on CDC and on the New South Wales, in the papers that they put out, you can look at it by region, you can look at it by gender, by age grouping. They really break the data out in a lot of different ways, which I find it fascinating to look at. Especially if you look at, like, in the U.S., the rates of STI infections are highest in the Southeast, where they teach abstinence and not proper sex education. Or at least they did when we were going through school. I'm assuming it's probably not a lot different.
I'm going to assume it's not changed.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, abstinence does not work. Look, even Mary got pregnant and she was abstinent. So abstinence, how's that logic? It doesn't work. It doesn't work.
That's very true. Okay. Cool. So moving on with the gonorrhea. As 75% of cases occur in people that are 15 to 34 years of age, so definitely much higher risk if you're younger.
We're out of that range.
And in the younger age group, 15 to 19 years, women are more likely to be diagnosed than men. But after that, men are much more likely than women.
What was the age on the women's?
15 to 19.
Again, it makes me wonder if that's because they're going into the doctors for other reasons. Are they going in specifically to get tested mm-hmm. for an STI? Or are they going in for another reason and getting
tested? Like getting birth control or
yeah,
something.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just curious. Yeah.
That's a good question.
I know.
Yeah. There's a lot of reasons. We don't know where this comes from. Yeah.
We should science the shit out of this.
Yeah, we should. We're probably not going to, are we?
Probably not. But if you're listening and you're a scientician, mm-hmm. do some science.
Well, that would be more social science, wouldn't it be?
It sounds like a PhD project if I'm as the resident advisor mm-hmm. for PhD students here at this table on mm-hmm. this podcast, I would suggest that this is PhD project gold.
I'm also pretty sure that somebody probably has. But
they
I
may have
know.
Started it, but get yeah. out there and get it done quick. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay, syphilis. Move on to number 3.
Oh, good. I mean, this one sounds great. This is the one that makes parts of your body fall off. This is like sexually transmitted leprosy.
It's one way to look at it.
I'm not shaming. I'm just saying. Ew.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a bacterial disease as well. It can cause sores on the genitals, cervix, and the mouth.
And it can get your nose.
This
to fall
is the
off.
One. I thought it was syphilis. I wasn't sure, but this is the one that can arise up to 10 years after the original infection. Mm. That's crazy. 10 years.
What's it doing all that time?
It's latent. It's just not.
Is it like when a bacteria goes on holiday?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. It's just hanging out, floating
it's
around.
It's latent. Is that science words for lazy? Because if so, I am latent.
It's just hanging out. It just doesn't want to do any work.
It's playing the PlayStation. It's a latent bacteria.
It doesn't really want to like replicate or do anything, attack anything. Yeah, it's just
and then
lazy.
It's like, you know what? I'm done with this shit. Let's destroy this
Bored
host.
Now.
Yeah, let's destroy this host. He or she is not fucking nearly enough.
So if left untreated, it can cause serious irreversible damage to the brain, spinal cord, other organs. As you mentioned.
Can you die from all STIs? Like, could you die
if
from
you
gonorrhea
left them untreated,
or chlamydia?
If you left them untreated, I don't see why not. Actually, yes, you can, because somewhere in one of the papers, they actually had how many deaths were attributed to the STIs. I mean, it was a very, very small number, because most people, if they didn't treat it, might, you know, it makes you more susceptible to other infections. Yeah. So then you're more likely to die from something else. But there were a handful of deaths. I mean, not many. It really was, I think, like a handful of deaths attributed solely to the STIs, if left untreated. But I mean, I suspect, not knowing, but they're probably people that didn't have access to health care and that kind of thing. Because it seems like at some point along the way, if you were really sick, you would get help.
It was one of those things we gave the Native Americans. With syphilis. And it killed them. Plus,
we gave them syphilis? I know we gave them smallpox.
Because in the episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, where it's the musical, Xander, who I can't come up with a better person to get syphilis, but Xander got syphilis. Uh-huh. And then, well, actually in an earlier episode, he gets syphilis. But then Anya sings, his penis got diseases from the Chumash tribe, which is a great...
Oh my God.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I'm just saying.
Well,
most of my U.S. history comes from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah.
His penis got diseases from the Chumash tribe. It's great.
At least you're getting history from somewhere.
I know.
That and the dollop.
The dollop?
We do get a fair bit from the dollop.
How many other podcasts are we going to plug in this episode?
I don't know. We should do it, see how many we can do and see if we can get a record. Start a record high on this one.
Oh my God.
Okay, so syphilis is less common than chlamydia or gonorrhea. The question I also have on that is that typically if you go to the doctor and you ask for an STI test, here anyway, they will very often just do chlamydia and gonorrhea, unless they have reason to suspect something else. So if you're, you know, a man who has sex with men or whatever, if you're have multiple partners. If you specifically ask for a full panel, they'll do a full panel. But if you just like, oh, I just want to do a quick checkup and just make sure, then they'll often just do chlamydia and gonorrhea, which means that things like syphilis could get missed. And I know the numbers aren't as high, so...
Well, I never thought I'd be happy to be a high-risk patient.
So, I mean, you can ask, you know, to have a full panel done. And I don't know what it's like in the U.S. I don't know if they typically just do the you know, two most common, or if they will always do a full panel. But it's definitely something worth asking if you do go in for STI testing. Make sure that you do get as much tested as you possibly can. And, you know, talk to your doctor about it. Just tell them, like, look, yeah, I mean, it's, I guess it depends on how honest you can be with your doctor. We're fortunate in that we are very open and honest with our doctor. We also go to a clinic here in Sydney where we can be very honest with them about our sexual practices.
Yeah. I always like going to mine because he's cute.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he asks questions like, do you have sex with men and women? I'm like, yeah, I do. He's like, how many in the last 3 months? And I'm like, excuse me, let me get out my calculator.
Start pulling out the little black book and flipping back.
I don't actually do that.
Okay, so syphilis is 7 times more common in men aged between 40 and 44 years.
40 and 44 years.
Yes.
That is a very specific age.
It is. In that age group, there were 26 people per 100,000 here in Australia diagnosed.
40 and
so it's very low
years.
Rates compared to the other it two, is. But still.
But I'm confused as to why that age range. Is that like what we get for our 40th? Oh, happy 40th birthday. Here, have some syphilis.
But it is higher here in, well, I guess that was amongst that age group, though. Never mind. Because I was going to say, in the U.S., it was 9.5 per 100 people per 100,000 people. So 30,000 new diagnoses in 2017.
That poor half a person.
So, well, it's per 100,000.
Oh, I guess so. You're meaning there'd be like
if you had 200,000 people.
19 people and 200,000.
Yeah.
That makes more sense.
But yeah, so syphilis is more common in men, as particularly men who have sex with men, and Indigenous Australians in remote locations. So again, is that because of access to testing? Is it, I don't know.
I still want to know how these are tested. Is it people going in to be tested for STIs, or are they going in for something else and just happen to get tested?
And then they
for
do
STIs?
Like a full panel of whatever.
Or they're showing something like, I'm sick, I don't feel good, it burns when I pee.
Yeah.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
I don't know. I don't know how most of the diagnoses come. I'm sure probably somewhere in all the data they dig through the I mean, I know they had locations of where the data was collected, but they may say specifically clinics, GPs, hospitals. It probably is in there. I didn't dig that far because I didn't anticipate that question.
Yeah, sorry.
Next time, when we do STI number 3 in a year or two, I'll
it is interesting look it up and see. Looking at the, listening to these numbers, like, so basically, if you're a human being that has sex with multiple human beings, you have a better chance of getting an STI. Heck, I think you have a better chance of getting 2 STIs than you do winning the lottery.
Probably.
Think about that, swingers.
Probably.
Get tested.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, because
like a broken record.
Well, because you protect not only yourself and your partner and your partner's partners, but you protect the whole community. And it's, I mean, ultimately it just spills out and out.
And then you
and
become
out,
a pillar of the community and you become a superhero because all pillars of the communities are superheroes. There.
You get to wear a cape and everything?
Yeah. Spider-Man doesn't have a cape.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Now they did Black Panther. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Punisher. Mm-hmm. Anti-hero, but he's still a hero.
Right.
Just saying.
All right. So moving on to the one that we heard all about growing up.
The bad AIDS.
The bad AIDS. Yep. HIV. So HIV is a virus, a human immunodeficiency virus. It is quite manageable now with retroviral drugs.
Yeah.
And so it's actually...
Because now isn't it true if you're non-detectable, you're non-transmissible?
Right.
Which is, that's amazing.
Yeah, yeah, it is very much manageable these days. Of course, growing up, it was the big bad. It was, you know, if you
it's
have...
It's why our generation is terrified of sex.
Yeah, if you have sex, you're going to get HIV, you're going to die.
Yeah.
That was it. It was like, wait, no, if you have sex, you're going to get pregnant, you're going to get HIV, and you're going to die.
Yeah, exactly. That's like the worst trifecta ever.
Yeah, so that's what we grew up with. You know, if left untreated, it is very bad, but there are a lot of treatments out there. It's really easy to keep it, I say really easy, it can be managed and kept under control.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the antiretroviral drugs, they're not a cure, but it keeps, it slows the progression to AIDS, and many people will never actually develop AIDS from what I read.
Nice. That's nice. That's
yeah.
good. I like that.
But men aged 30 to 34 years have the highest new HIV rate at 18 per 100,000. Women are also more likely to be diagnosed in that same age group than any other age group, but it's one-fifth the rate of men.
Wow.
So men are a lot more likely to be diagnosed with HIV than women are. And I think that's... I know here, at least in Australia, there's been a big push to eradicate, you know, new diagnoses of HIV, transmission of HIV. They've been targeting the gay population for that.
Yes.
It has drastically reduced, which is great. The problem is that heterosexuals make up 25% of new diagnoses because they're not getting the word. They're not understanding.
Testing.
They're not testing. Yeah. They're not realizing that they're still at risk as much anyway. And so I think it's still, as a virus goes, there's still a stigma of it's a gay man's disease.
Well, it's interesting because I remember growing up. I mean, it was the, quote, gay plague.
Yeah.
You know, and it was very much the... There was that conservative side that was very much, let's just let it play out. It's a gay man's disease that will take care of a, quote, problem. And it is interesting to look at that and see that that mentality is still sort of, it is purely a gay man's disease.
Yeah.
And it's really depressing to see that now 25% of new cases are heterosexual.
Right. And that was here in Australia, so. I'm going to assume it's probably similar in the U.S. and worldwide, but I don't have that specifically.
It seems like everybody should get tested, no matter who you have sex with, but whatever.
Yeah, because when you look at, you know, the heterosexuals being 25% of the new diagnoses, that's not just heterosexual men. That's women,
right.
too.
Yeah.
And I think that's I'm not going to say a forgotten population, but it's definitely one that's not targeted to say, hey, you know, be careful, because besides all the other STIs, there's also this. Like, you need to be aware of everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yep. So now this is a fun one.
Good. Is this the worm one? Was this the empanada?
No. Herpes.
Oh, yeah.
Herpes. So HSV 1 and 2, herpes simplex virus 1 and 2. There's two different, there's actually more, but two most common strains of herpes.
Yes.
There's HSV 1 is what you'll typically know causes cold sores.
Okay.
On your mouth?
Yep.
And HSV-2 typically causes sores on the genitals.
Right.
But not always.
Of course.
So HSV-1, if you pass HSV-1 to someone else and they become infected, it can cause genital herpes for them, genital sores for them.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah. And you can also have cold sores that are caused by HSV-2. Much less common, vice versa. It's much more common for cold sores to be HSV-1 and genital sores to be HSV-2.
Gotta be honest, I really don't like the sequel to HSV-1. I thought they should have just left it as a standalone.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So, right.
So but they're very closely related.
But can you have it and not have cold sores?
Yes, you can.
Never, ever have cold sores?
Because
I had a partner who had HSV-1, and we kissed occasionally. And so, but I've never had a cold sore.
Right. And you've also never tested positive for it.
That's right. I forgot about that.
So you didn't get it. Important.
But that's, how's that even possible?
But that's like saying that every time you have sex, you're going to get pregnant.
No, I know that, but...
So just because you kissed and just because you had sex, you didn't get it.
But we did have sex and kiss a lot over a period of years.
So either you were not exposed to viral particles, maybe your body defended them before they could take hold.
I'm immune.
I wouldn't go that far.
I'm invincible. I'm kidding.
Wouldn't go that far.
My fucking cape.
But yeah, I mean, just, you know, it is, you are more likely to contract HSV when someone is in a period of viral shedding, which is typically when they have the sores.
Viral shedding. There is nothing positive about that. I don't want my viruses to shed. I prefer them to have matted hair and look like grrr.
Right.
Sorry. Viral shedding, that is not a pretty phrase.
It's not a pretty phrase, but that's typically, you know, when
that's when you have an outbreak, though,
when you have an outbreak and you have active sores. So when you start to feel the first tingle of a cold sore, until you get new skin healed up over it.
Wow.
That's the biggest period of viral shedding is during that time. So that's when the virus is replicating. It's trying to go out and spread its viralness, whatever.
Spread its little virus wings.
Yeah.
Go forth, little virus, and multiply. Don't.
No. But yeah, just because you do kiss someone that has HSV 1 or 2, just because you have sex with someone that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get it. It does mean you have a much higher chance of contracting it, but it doesn't mean that you're going to. However, there was one number that I saw that approximately 75% of, I think it was infections in Australia, were HSV-1.
Okay.
And it is more common in women than men. And it's considered one of the more common STIs. It's expected that 1 in 8 people carry the virus. So okay. It's not that high.
Okay.
But it's still pretty significant. I mean, 1 in 8 people, look around.
That's a lot.
Yeah. It is a lot.
Over time, will go away? Or once you have it,
no,
you always
once you have it.
It,
you always have it.
Interesting.
But again, so for many people, it's not like you have constant outbreaks.
Right, yeah.
And they're intermittent and they're manageable. For people who do have more frequent outbreaks or who just say, this doesn't work for my lifestyle or whatever, you can take antivirals and, you know, keep that. It's basically, what do they call it, suppression therapy?
Yes.
Where they keep it, you know, keep the viral load suppressed and keep it weakened. And that way, you know, you don't get the outbreaks as frequently.
That's like Valtrex.
Yeah. That's the other thing, is that it can be latent or asymptomatic for a long time as well. So a lot of people, you know, may test positive at some point for it, or may have a cold sore. They've never had a cold sore before. And if you're married and monogamous, they may say, oh, well, you cheated on me. But actually, it could have had it for a very long time before and didn't actually know about it.
Interesting. That's fascinating.
But that's, again, get tested.
Yeah. So. And it's interesting, too, because, you know, we've played with people who have tested positive for both HSV-1 and HSV-2. And we've also heard podcasts where there's a lot of shaming. And I think that's due to ignorance. But I think there's a lot of people out there who refuse to... They like to stay in that perpetual state of ignorance.
Right.
So rather than educate themselves, they just shame and mock. And that's really a bummer.
Yeah. It is. But like I said, we've been in play situations with people who have HSV-1 or HSV-2, and you just take appropriate precautions. And if there's I know, like, one of our partners recently had a cold sore. And so she was just like, you know, no kissing, no whatever. And she was just like, I'm just going to watch, and that's okay. But you take appropriate measures, depending. Yeah. But it's not... Yeah, like you said, there is a lot of stigmatization, and I mean, with a lot of STIs, but particularly with herpes, there is a lot of stigma.
It is one of those things that educate yourself, folks. Get yourself tested and educate yourself.
And we know couples where one person may be positive for HSV and the other one's negative.
Yeah.
So just because you have it, again, doesn't mean you're going to pass it on to your partner, like
exactly.
You were talking about with your previous partner.
Yeah.
I'm Jace.
I'm Emily.
And I'm Dedeker.
And with our powers combined,
we are the Multiamory Podcast.
If you're happy with the same old ways of dating,
if you enjoy sucking at communication,
and you have no desire to improve your romantic life, then our podcast might not be for you.
But if you want some out-of-the-box ideas to deepen your current relationships,
broaden your sexual horizons,
develop a better understanding of yourself,
or learn more about non-monogamy,
then come check out the Multiamory Podcast on the Swingset Network at swingset.fm, the Swingset FM Android app, or at multiamory.com.
Okay. So we have Hepatitis B.
Oh, good. It's my least favorite trilogy.
A, B, C.
Hep A, Hep B, Hep C.
Uh-huh. Yep. Do you know the differences between them all?
One has an A, one has a B.
One did better at school than the other.
One, just average. One you get from poo. That's the one that they keep recalling the romaine lettuce for.
Hepatitis A is spread in food and water and can be spread through feces, which is like why when we went to South America,
well, that's right,
we had to get hepatitis A vaccines.
We did. That's right.
And it was also suggested if you do a lot of rimming that you also get hepatitis A vaccine.
Which is why I got my hepatitis A vaccine, because blah, 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 blah.
Hepatitis B is considered to be STI,
the STI right?
yes, because it spreads through blood and bodily fluids.
Okay. And Hep C is the one you get at the hospital.
You get it at the hospital?
Well, isn't that the one that why we wear all the PPE at the hospital? Well, I mean, so that amongst other things.
Hepatitis C is only spread by blood.
Okay.
And it is a chronic infection, so it's not one that you're going to be able to clear.
Okay.
I mean, I guess they're all viruses, but yeah, so Hep B though, so I'm pretty sure, I know I have, you've probably had a vaccine for it because working in laboratories,
yes,
a lot of people that work in laboratories and do work with blood will have vaccinations for hepatitis B.
Yes.
So I know that we've had A and B. C, there's no vaccine for, so.
Come on, science.
Just got to be safe.
Work harder. Yeah, but Hep C isn't a STI.
Right. It's not.
Okay.
No. No, because it is only spread by blood.
Okay.
Right. So, yeah, hepatitis B, the incidence, it's not reportable, so the numbers are kind of not 100%. But the notification rates did fall since 1996 here in Australia, pretty significantly, about by half. And so now we're down to 25 notifications per 100,000 people. And that is largely attributed to a vaccination program for children.
Look, we all know Jenny McCarthy tells us that vaccines do not work. If you're an anti-vaxxer, just stop listening right now.
Yeah.
We don't need you.
Yeah, there's a big childhood vaccination program here in Australia over the last little while, and that has greatly reduced the risk and the numbers of transmission.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, because let's be realistic. Vaccines are what we like to call science. And if you don't believe in that vaccines work and you don't believe in climate change, you just might be president of the United States. Just saying. Just saying. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Vaccines work.
Yeah, they
do. Get vaccinated. Get your children vaccinated.
So here
I love the... Sorry.
Yeah.
You showed me this today. The CDC reported the...
The side effects.
Side effects of vaccination, which were old age, gray hair, and loss of teeth. Like, this is fucking genius. This comes from the same group that has a zombie preparedness, zombie apocalypse preparedness pamphlet.
I love it.
I love whoever's doing marketing for the CDC right now. Keep doing, you're doing the Lord's
Admittedly,
work.
That was a headline. I didn't actually read it to see if it was true, but I like it either way.
It's fine either way. Yeah, look. It sounds like something.
Somebody's got a sense of humor, and it's great. I love it.
All right, sorry. Please continue.
So yeah, hepatitis B in Australia, the rates are highest in rural indigenous populations and immigrants arriving from countries where it's endemic. It's very common in Asia and Africa.
Hmm. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I think.
So that's why, it's much more common in those populations and immigrants coming from those areas. Yep. You happy with that? Well, done with that?
I'm not thrilled about it, but, you know, I'm satisfied to have enough information to terrify me.
Okay.
Please continue. What do we have next?
We have HPV, human papillomavirus.
Oh, good. This is the one I know about. Of all of these, I know probably the most about this one.
What do you know about
it? We all have it, or everybody has had it, or most likely, statistically, you have had it and you, I don't want to say passed it, because it's not like a...
Up to 80% of the population will have HPV at some point in their life, both men and women.
Yes.
A lot of people think it's only women get it, but it's not. Everybody gets it.
But some of them cause cervical cancer.
Yeah.
And then some of them cause genital warts.
Mm-hmm. Do you know how many strains of HPV there are?
525,600 strains. That's a bunch. I'm going to say... Do you have an exact number over there?
I don't have an exact number.
Oh. Well, I can guess any number, and I'm right.
I have a...
ballpark?
A ballpark.
More than 80?
Yes.
More than 100?
Mm-hmm.
More than 200?
No, I don't have that. I just have more than 100.
Oh, okay. Well, 200 is more than 100.
That's true. It's very true.
So my first guess of 500...
Pretty sure if it was that close, they would have gone up a few steps.
Fair enough.
So 13 of those strains are known to cause cancer.
Wow.
Two of them are the primary causes of cervical cancer.
Jeez. Okay.
So out of the 100 strains, 13 are bad, 2 are super bad. So.
How many of those cause genital warts?
I don't know.
Oh.
Not sure.
So what do the other ones do? I mean, are they bad?
I'm going to assume that most of them can cause genital warts. Okay. But the thing with HPV, like you said, is that while more than 80% of the population will have HPV, a strain of HPV at some point in their life, most of us will clear it within a year or two. And
so why don't we clear some viruses but not others? Or do I need a doctor?
You probably need a doctor.
Okay.
Immune response. I don't know.
If you're a doctor and can explain to me why some viruses we can get rid of and some viruses we can't. Please send an email, because I would like to understand that, and I don't really feel like going to WebMD, because the last time I went to WebMD, I found out that I had menopause.
Mm-hmm. But you cleared that, too.
I did. It was amazing.
I'm going to assume it has something to do with the viral structure, but I don't know. But yeah, so most people will clear the HPV without any issues. Many people don't even know they have it or have had it.
So the vaccinations don't cover all of HPVs, though, right?
No, they don't.
It's like, aren't they up to like 13 different HPVs that they can vaccinate
against? They cover some of the strains and the ones that are more common to cause cancer.
That's good.
And that is the other thing, that there is a vaccination for HPV. When we were in our 20s is when that came out, and they were only giving it to teenagers. And they basically said that you can only have it, or it's only effective if you get the vaccine before you have sex, which is why I think they give it to kids who are like 12 now or something like that.
That makes sense.
Because basically then they were like, yeah, but by the time you hit 20-something, you've probably had HPV and cleared it, and so then you have a greater immune response against other strains later.
Yeah, but still.
I know. And
it doesn't hurt anything, right? Right,
but it wasn't cleared for people over a certain age. Only recently, like in the past few months, have they actually increased the age to which you can get the vaccine to 35.
So you're still outside the fucking window.
I'm still outside the window.
You could go to the doctor and pay for it, though, right? Because I know you can do that in the States.
So last time I went, this past year, when I went for my pap exam and all of that stuff, I asked them about it, and they were basically, you know, oh, you've probably had it at some point, blah blah blah, whatever. This was right before they increased it to 35, and so it was just before that, and they were basically like, it's not going to do any good. And so I asked several times, and they were basically like, no. Now when I go this next year, I'm going to push a hell of a lot harder, and if I don't get it there, I'll go to the GP and ask for it. But because I do think that I'm willing to pay for it if they're willing to give it to me.
Exactly.
But I didn't think that I could get it. But now I'm like, really, if you're a sexually active adult,
especially
if you're 35 or if you're 39, really, does it make that big of a difference?
Yeah, exactly.
So, like I said, this next year when I go, I will push a lot harder for it and see if I can get it.
But you'll be 40 by then.
I will be, and we'll have had my party.
That's right.
Yeah, so, but there is a vaccine for it, so if you have children, get them vaccinated. If you're within that window, up to 35, ask your doctor about getting the vaccine if you've not had it before. I don't think it, I mean,
can I get vaccinated? Or is it only for ladies?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. So, yep, we've already talked about genital warts. Don't know how many strains cause it. I'm going to guess most of them probably can. And again, this is not notifiable disease, so the number of true infections is unknown. Another page done.
Oh my God.
But now we're down to the very end.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
No more sexually transmitted diseases.
Well, we're at, infections. We're at Trichomonas.
Oh, good. Which the little empanadas.
Yeah.
They are the cutest of the STIs.
Yes, but it is more likely to occur in remote and regional northern Australia, and it's also more likely to be diagnosed in Indigenous women. Why that is, not entirely sure. Does that mean that, you know, people here, there's not as many infections in more populated areas, so therefore it's not spreading as much? I don't know. And I don't know, yeah, there's a lot of reasons that could be, but we're not going to pontificate on that. Unless you really want to.
No.
So also, they do not consider thrush, hepatitis C, and bacterial vaginosis. Those are not considered to be STIs.
I wouldn't consider those STIs either.
No.
Nor like UTIs.
Right.
But because you can get those from bad panties.
Right. Yeah, an overgrowth of fungus and bacteria and that kind of thing. If you don't have breathable underwear. Yeah. That's why breathable underwear is important. Cotton panties.
Still at least like cotton the word overgrowth.
Overgrowth.
When it comes to vaginas.
Well, because we have bacteria in...
I understand that, and I don't mind there. That. I mean, I find them delicious. But anytime something has an overgrowth.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, an interesting thing that I saw on, I think this was potentially Australia's website, the New South Wales Health one, in that paper. But they were talking about STIs and traveling abroad. Basically, foreign travel, so this is what it says from the paper. Foreign travel is in many ways related to the spread of disease. Yes, duh. True. when traveling abroad, people may feel less inhibited because of a perceived relaxation of social and moral constraints, leading to changing and potentially unsafe sexual behaviors and resultant exposure to STIs. So basically, when people are traveling abroad, reduced inhibitions, they don't care as much, they're less likely to use condoms, more likely to spread STIs. So basically, even if you're traveling, follow the same practices as you would if you're at home. Basically, that's the moral of it. Yeah.
That is...
Because there are different rates in different places. Like we talked about with hepatitis, you know, it's endemic in some areas and not others.
Yeah.
And so it is going to be easier to contract.
I find that remarkably dumb.
It's
funny. It's sort of funny. I mean... But it's dumb.
It's sad, is what it is.
Yeah.
Is that people, you know, are not going to necessarily use as much protection as they would if they're at home.
Yeah.
Or maybe they're more likely to have sex outside of their relationship than they would at home.
Yeah.
That could be as well. And if you're, it's not something you normally do, you may not be prepared or excuses, whatever. Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, so next time we travel abroad, take a condom.
Yeah, exactly.
Get tested when you get home.
Yeah. But, and that's the thing, too, is, you know, when you get tested, of course, they ask how many partners have you had in the past, you know, 3 months, 6 months, whatever it's been. And if you do test positive for something, go back and listen to episode 22 if you want to hear a...
I tested positive for something.
Which ended up being a false positive, but, yeah.
Hey, false positive is still positive.
But the thing is, though, that while we thought that you were positive, before we found out it was a false positive, we'd already contacted several partners.
Yes.
And so it is important, if you do find out that you have an STI, to notify the people that you've been with, anybody you may potentially have spread it to. If you cannot do it yourself because of different reasons, I mean, maybe you're no longer talking to the person, maybe you had a bad relationship, whatever it may be, there are notification services that will do that for you.
Yes.
Many of them will send a text or an email. I've written a few of them down here. There's bettertoknow.org, letthemknow.org, stdcheck.com, the drama down under.info.
Like that one. Ending, I like that one a lot.
I know. endinghiv.org.au, checkhimout.ca, which would be Canada, right?
Yeah.
Don'tspreadit.com. So there's a lot of different ways that you can, a lot of these sites that you can go to that can let people know if you don't want to actually call them, text them, talk to them, whatever. But whatever the method is, if you have tested positive for something, please let your previous partners know so they can get tested and they can have their partners tested. And it's that whole snowball effect of making sure that everybody's as safe as we can be.
Responsibility.
Yes. Oof. Yeah. So there's a lot of information. I know it's a lot of numbers and it's a lot of bad stuff, but it's still better to know and better to have the information.
I know. Knowledge is power. And
yeah,
I've been very cynical and sarcastic. And
I mean, that's your usual state.
That is my usual state. And I'm not going to apologize for it. However, I do agree that it's important to know this information. And it's important to know yourself and your body and to be ready to, you know, the more healthy you are, the more you can play, I think.
Well, and I think it's also good to know what the risk is so that then you can assess how you want to play.
Yes.
And that'll be the upcoming bit is you know, looking at what the risk is and then what measures do you want to take to protect yourself and how much risk is acceptable risk. Yeah. And, yeah.
I think one thing that, for me, a takeaway that I would want people who listen to this to take away is that there is no shame in STIs.
No.
It's not like you're not guilty of anything. I mean, you may have made a bad decision and maybe perhaps played without a condom, but condoms aren't 100%.
They're not 100%.
And so, you know, nothing is 100% except for abstinence. Mm-hmm. And we all know how abstinence worked for one very famous lady.
May have mentioned her earlier.
I may have mentioned her earlier. But, you know, it is one of those things that, you know, we should be very cognizant and cautious to not shame people for having an STI. Because the more of a stigma we put on it, the less likely people are going to be to go out and get tested and then to talk about it. I don't see there is any shame or stigma to either being diagnosed or living with an STI.
No,
it's about knowing the risk and trying to help people make informed decisions.
Right. Yeah.
And again, for us, having an STI does not prevent us from playing with people.
No.
It changes what that play might look like.
Yes, it may change how we play with people, but it doesn't mean that we're not going to.
And I will say things like chlamydia, gonorrhea, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. We're all about waiting. Mm-hmm. You know, that just means okay. Well, we wait a week until until the antibiotics.
Of course, if antibiotics is done. And
But things, you know, like HSV-1 mm-hmm. or HSV-2, that doesn't prevent us from playing with people.
No.
And I don't think it should prevent people from playing with other people.
No, again, it's just about being informed and deciding what that play should look like and also evaluating what your acceptable level of risk is. So,
because we, like I said, we have heard people shame.
Yes, it happens a lot.
It does happen
and it
a lot.
Shouldn't.
And it shouldn't. Because that shaming, I think, comes from ignorance.
Yeah.
And occasionally stupidity. And remember, the difference between ignorance and stupidity. Ignorance is not knowing. Stupidity is knowing and not caring. And still being obnoxious. So.
Yep.
Neither of those are sexually transmitted.
Thank goodness.
No, they're genetic.
Well, that might be worse.
So, yeah. Any other wise thoughts on the STI discussion?
No, I think I've done enough talking.
Well, you've talked a lot. I'm impressed. So, we will link to all of these services where we talk about how to tell partners.
The notification services.
That'll be in the show notes here. There, you know, look around for places you can get tested. Your GP can test. If you're not comfortable talking to your GP, go to your public health services. Mm-hmm. They will do it as well. I never thought I would say this. If you're lucky enough to be a man that plays with men, I thought I would say that. But you have a benefit. You are better than others in that most places will test you for free.
Yeah.
Because you are, as the numbers have shown, at the greatest risk. Mm-hmm. So, for me, as a man who plays with men, you know, I go and it's government subsidized. So it's all funded. It's completely free for me. It's completely free for anybody, I think, here in Australia. But in the U.S.
It's easier for you.
It was easier to get tested for free because I was at greater risk.
Right.
So, go get tested. Search out local places to get tested. If you have questions, comments, concerns about this podcast subject matter, please don't hesitate to reach out to us.
Yep.
Like we said before, we're not doctors. We're pretty experienced with being tested. So if you mm-hmm. are curious as to what that looks like, don't hesitate to reach out to us.
Yeah.
theatomsoflove@gmail.com or on any of our social medias, Instagram, on Twitter, and on Facebook at By the By Podcast. Mm-hmm. Find us on Patreon, www.patreon.com/bythebypodcast.
And also join us next week where we will be talking to Cooper S. Beckett.
Yes, about, from Life on the Swing Set.
Yes, from Life on the Swing Set. So we talked to him about how to have safer sex and what kinds of measures can be taken and that type of thing. So we just kind of pontificate a bit with him.
On mitigating risk.
Yes.
That's basically what next week's podcast will be about. So spoiler alert.
I know.
So thank you very much, and we'll talk at you guys soon.
Yes, thank you.
Hi, this is Jace, co-host of the Multiamory Podcast. We offer new ideas and advice for multiple forms of love, everything from conscious monogamy to ethical polyamory and radical relationship anarchy, and you're listening to a Swing Set Network podcast. Find us and much more at swingset.fm.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.